It comes as absolutely no surprise to any of you that here we are in the opening days of 2025. And it is always good and right, I think, as we start off a new year to spend time thinking about what lays ahead. You know, and certainly one of the ways we do that is New Year's resolutions. And I know resolutions are personal things, but if I had the opportunity to give all of you a few New Year's resolutions, they'd be really rather simple, but I'd give you three. The first would be that you would read your Bible daily and get through it in 1 year. The second would be that you do a better job of loving your neighbor as yourself. And the third would be that you take better care of your own health this year. Now, why do I give you those three? Because we all need those three. I need those three. And to the extent that any of you are already doing them, I know we can all do them better. So that's what I would give you if I were just to give you blanket church-appointed resolutions for the upcoming year. But beyond that, we all were uniquely made. We all have unique experiences and abilities that mean that we should then have specific tailored aspirations as we look forward to the year to come. I know God put on my heart a long time ago to write a book, and I've been progressing, but I haven't finished it yet. So I'd really like to get that done this year. So I don't know what might fit into your list, but I'm sure that there are other things. But just as we look forward to this upcoming year and think about what can I do better? What would I really like to do? What would I like to have set, be able to say at the end of 2025, I can't believe I did that. We also know, and we've already heard about it this morning, that there are going to be some challenges in this upcoming year. There are going to be failures. There are going to be times of tribulation and suffering and pain. There's going to be death in this upcoming year. And it might be your own. It might be someone close to you. With Alan's mom passing away this morning, with Sally's sister passing away yesterday. Knowing that Jen's dad is going to pass away in the days to come, my stepfather isn't going to make it much longer. Death is going to come. And so we are going to find ourselves, in all likelihood, looking down the road, facing challenges that may very well bring us to our knees. This is what lies ahead as we contemplate what's to come in this upcoming year. And so I ask the reasonable question for all of us. What are we going to do when these moments hit? The peaks and the valleys. How are we going to handle them? And I suggest that no matter what this year brings us, the way to address them is not to look within to say, how am I going to handle this? But to look beyond and say, God, help me. Because you're the one that made me and the one that made the heavens and the earth. Now, I was reminded of this because every year, I know I gave you the New Year's resolution to read through the Bible. Well, I do that because I do it every year. And so on January 1st, I sat down and I opened up my Bible to page 1. And I read Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. And then I flipped to the New Testament and I read Matthew chapter 1. And I've been building on that every day. And to read through Genesis chapter 1 is a wonderful, wonderful way to start, because the very beginning of Genesis chapter 1 speaks to both the power and the precision and then the personal nature of the Creator, God the Father. Consider the words that the Bible opens with. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, depending upon how you read things, how you hear things, you can hear those words and say, yep, I understand each word of that. In the beginning, yeah, when it started, God, yeah, created the heavens and the earth. Uh-huh, got it. I know what that means. But do we know what it means? Do you understand the significance of those opening words to the Bible? You see, on one level, it's easy for us to understand. We can take and know the definitions. But on another hand, When we're talking about God, we are talking about a being who is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, everywhere, all-loving. And when you throw that word all in front of things, what it means is you go to the extent that the human mind can understand it, and then you go beyond it. Because we are finite and God is infinite. And so let me try to bring this a little bit more to life. Push your thinking so that when you see something like this, maybe you start to have a deeper appreciation. Because when God created the heavens and the earth, there was an explosive event. What do we know about explosions? Well, we know that the United States dropped a nuclear bomb on Hiroshima. The yield of that atomic blast was measured at 16 kilotons. It was at that point the largest explosion ever made by man, equivalent to 16,000 tons of TNT. Some 15 years later, the Soviet Union dropped what has been, in a test, thankfully, the largest thermonuclear explosion ever created. That is measured at 50 megatons. How big is a megaton, you might say? Well, let me tell you, 50 megatons, that explosion, one explosion, was equal to 10 times the explosive power of every single bit of ordnance dropped in World War II, including the two bombs that we dropped, the two atomic bombs. And that one test, Tsar Bomba, great name for a big bomb, was 10 times bigger than the cumulative total of all the ordnance in World War II. That's pretty big, 50 megatons. That's what man can do. One solar flare coming off of our sun can unleash the explosive power of billions of megatons. One piece of the outer shell of the sun unleashing billions of megatons, let alone what resides within one sun, which 93 million miles away can still blister the skin of a human being. The power in one sun. But God didn't just make the sun. God made all the stars. And so when I opened up our service this morning, I read from Psalm 19. And let me remind you that that says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." And if any of you go out at night and just gaze up on a clear sky and see the billions and billions and billions of stars that are out there, I want you to think the human mind can't get beyond understanding that one solar flare has billions of megatons. What's in one star? And then our sky is filled. In fact, the Hubble telescope was once pointed at the darkest spot at the sky, the place where we thought there doesn't look like there are any stars there. But as the Hubble telescope peered further and further into this vast expanse, it saw that that blank area wasn't blank. It was filled with more stars. We can't understand how many stars are out there in a universe that measures billions of light years across. Our minds can't understand the immense magnitude of the power and might of a God who can create all that. But sometimes in the sheer brute force of explosion, we lose sight of the personal. And as we read these verses in Genesis, and I know I had Anne read a number of verses today, but that's because as she was reading, she took our eyes not just from the vast expanse beyond, but to look down within. To peer down at a blade of grass and understand that the God that made the sun also made that. The tiniest seed God created. And as our ability to see down was improved by microscopes, and we were able to peer down to a cell, but then electron microscopes, where we could peer even to the signature of God within a cell, DNA, to see that God created within a cell an intricate motor, the flagellum rotor, which is this molecular machine created by God that can do things that we can't make machines do in real life. And God said, I'm going to make it happen on a level so small you won't be able to discover how it's done for thousands of years. And then when you do, you're not going to be able to figure out how I did it. The God who created the universe on a massive magnitude then said, let me take care of the most intricate details. Genesis chapter 1, when you read the Bible, it reveals these things if you peer deeply into the words, if you ponder them, if you understand them. It is not just what we see on the big level, it's what we see even smaller. And so I ask you, as you look towards this year ahead and you're facing difficult challenges on a big scale, how does it measure up to a God who creates the universe? When you're facing a challenge and you're wondering if it is significant enough for God's attention, let me remind you of something that is captured in Luke's gospel. It says, why, even the hairs of your head are numbered. A God so big and yet so personal as to have numbered every single follicle on your head. It's easier on some of you than others, but it doesn't really matter, does it? God's got it all figured out. He knows every intimate detail of your life. And so sometimes you've either said this or had somebody say it to you. They said, you know, it just didn't seem important enough to bother you with. We've all thought that. But the reality is, if God has already numbered the hairs on your head, hasn't He expressed a deep, abiding interest in the smallest things in your life? And let me let you in on a little secret. Even if you choose not to share it with God, He already knows it. So you might as well have a conversation and invite Him into the process, because He is the process. This past November, Jan and I had the wonderful blessing, thanks to this congregation, to go and visit our daughter when she was studying in Italy. What a remarkable trip, and I am forever grateful for what you all did to help make that possible. Thank you. The things that we saw there were remarkable. They were inspiring. The works of art, the food. But I got to tell you, the thing that will stick with me the most is the architecture. Particularly when you start talking about amazing structures that were built to honor and glorify God. We had the opportunity to go into the cathedral in Pisa, which is perhaps the oldest cathedral in Italy, dating back almost 1,000 years. We went into the Duomo in Florence, this beautiful structure. We went into St. Peter's Basilica. And when you walk into these structures, first you got to get into them. And so as you are on the outside, you see these massive buildings that were built as pieces of art. They were built to last, and they have lasted centuries, if almost a millennium. But the intensity of the work that was done, a person could spend an entire lifetime carving a door so that it is opulent and a tribute to God. The colors they used, the sculptures that they worked into the building's facade, testify that these structures were important. But then when you walk on in, my goodness, it just, the humility that you feel in this awesome sense of worship brought to life. You peer up at the dome, which draws your attention, these great stained glass windows, the altars that are beyond imagination, these big things that just draw you right in. But when you get past the big things, you start noticing the little things. The designs on the floor, the carving of the columns, the work of the masters that adorn the walls. I mean, these are places that people spent 100 years creating. The people that started them didn't see them finished. but they were inspired by a mighty and awesome God who needed to be worshiped fully and completely. What we saw, that which has stood for centuries, is the result of people who said, we cannot be constrained by man's thinking. We must aspire to honor God. And I say that as a way of saying to you, when you think about what you want to accomplish this upcoming year in your own resolutions, what is inspiring your thought? Are you seeking, as is so easy, to live up to the expectations of man? And I got to tell you, most of us have set that bar so low that we can stub our toe on it when we're trying to get over things and impress people. I can make that one. God says set the bar high. Because if God puts it in your heart to do something, he will equip you to do it. If God tells you to start something, that doesn't mean he's telling you to finish it, but he's telling you to get going. And to get going in a way that acknowledges that he is glorious beyond imagination. It's easy for us when we think about our own abilities to think about what we know that we can accomplish. What God is saying is, I deserve so much more than what you think you can do. I deserve what you can do when I'm leading the way. That requires humility, but that requires inspiration. That requires spending time with God and understanding the true power and majesty and might of our Creator and what can be done through people who will submit to Him. Now, I'm not saying that we need to build a cathedral here. Don't get me wrong. We don't need a cathedral. But what God wants is for His people to accept challenges that seem unreasonable, because he is the worker of miracles. So, I recognize, as I mentioned in the beginning, that for some of you, this masterpiece that you might accomplish with God in this upcoming year may simply look like keeping your head above water as you are being pulled down by the forces of life. But that's okay, because if that's where God has you, God will help you. Our job is to not constrain what God can do by thinking it's all up to us. I think that looking at these first few verses in God's creation story, Genesis chapter 1, when we spend time thinking about what they really mean, we realize that we do serve an awesome and mighty God, one who has done wonderful things. As I bring this to a close, because I don't want to keep you a whole lot longer, I do want to talk, though, about one other biblical figure, one other man in Scripture who found himself, after having accomplished great things, then in a period of great suffering. A godly man who sought to please God, to know God, but found himself facing an unimaginable personal tragedy. The book of Job tells us about that man. And Job had accumulated vast wealth beyond what most of us could possibly imagine. Job had this phenomenal family that he loved deeply, that he prayed for whenever he had a chance. He had a wife who was by his side. And yet, calamity strikes. All of his wealth gone. All of his children dead. Even his own health stripped away as he was covered with sores. It was so bad that his wife, his loving wife, finally turns to him and says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Thanks for that uplifting encouragement. In the midst of all of this, Job is wondering what's going on. He is demanding an audience with God. He is demanding, "God, you need to tell me, because I have accomplished much. I have sought to serve you. I have done this. I have done that. I deserve to have an answer." Come stand before me. Tell me why this is happening to me. So God does one thing that Job asked for. He shows up. But instead of answering Job in his level of misery, God says to him, stand up, man. Because I'm about to hit you with some stuff and you need to be ready. Here's what I want you to answer for me. While you're complaining about you, let's talk about you for a moment. Where were you when I formed the foundations of the earth, Job? Where were you when I was laying out how high the water should come up on the shore, Job? Oh, by the way, do you happen to have a key to the storeroom where I keep all the snow and the hail for just an occasion that I want to unleash it? Do you know where it is, Job? Do you have any control over the stars and the constellations that indicate what season we're in, Job? God keeps pointing Job to the majestic, massive things that only God can do and says, where were you? But then, so that Job doesn't get lost in that which is enormous, he says, oh, by the way, that raven needs to be fed. Are you the one that provides it with food? That doe over there that's going to give birth, do you know exactly when, Job? Because I do. I know all of these things. And so in the midst of you wanting all the answers, I think you've forgotten something. You've forgotten that I have all the answers, that I am the answer. In the midst of whatever Job was going through, God's answer was, stop looking at yourself because you don't have the answer, but I do. We need to be mindful of that as we consider what this year is to bring. Triumph for some, tragedy for others, somewhere in the middle road. And some of us are going to get the whole buffet table, the highs and the lows. Who knows? God's word says that the way through it is not to look deep within yourself, but to look to the one who created it all, who knows all, who is all, and who loves us more dearly than we can love ourselves. I don't know if there's a better message for us to begin this year than to tell us all that no matter what the world brings before us this year, Christ is all. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was and is to come. He created it all. And he created you uniquely, so that you would glorify him and then fill some other role. And the only way we ever do what we were made to do is if we turn our eyes on our Creator. So that's my New Year's resolution for y'all. Get into God's Word and find out what our Creator has in store for you. Because the more we know about him, the more we will be inspired to lead the life that we were created uniquely to live. And there could be no greater joy than a life lived fulfilling our purpose. Let that be your New Year's resolution. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.